everyone, welcome back to Southern Ghost Stories, where we talk about some of the most haunted places in the South. I'm your host, Chelsea, along with Alan.
Hey there.
We hope you enjoyed our last podcast on the Sauerkraut Cave in Louisville, Kentucky. If you're interested in finding out more information about the historic cave or other haunted locations around Louisville, check out our Louisville Ghost Map app, which allows you to customize your own ghost tour along with our books, Southern Ghost Stories, Historical Hauntings, Haunted Hotels, Ghost of Gallatin, and our newest,
Murfreesboro, Spirits of Stones River.
Today, we're going to talk about the old jail in St. Augustine, Florida. Alan, can you give us a little background on the building?
In the late 1880s, St. Augustine businessman Henry Flagler began negotiating with the city to have a new jail built so he could build the new Ponce de Leon Hotel where the original jail was located. A deal was made, and Flagler paid the Poly Jail Company and the Manufacturing Company of St. Louis $10,000 for the construction of a new Romanesque Revival-style jail. He also spent $7,000 on a house for a gruff law enforcement officer named Joe Perry. Flagler wanted Perry to be the sheriff, but Perry refused to take the job unless Flagler built him a home close to the jail. Flagler wanted Perry because he was a big, burly man who wasn't scared of anything. Sheriff Perry was 6'6" and weighed at least 350 pounds. He ruled by intimidation, but he wasn't scared to go out with his deputies to another state to track down a fugitive if he had to.
The new jail was completed in 1891. The building was made of brick and actually looked like an inn from a distance. Before stucco was added to the exterior in the 1920s, travelers would see the brick and assume it was an inn. When they got closer and saw the bars on the windows is when they realized that they were in the wrong place. The 2.5-story jail held 72 male prisoners and 12 female prisoners. The women prisoners had 6 women for each cell with no running water or electricity. They had to share a bucket in order to use the restroom. To make things worse, the women served as jail maids and had to clean and cook for the male prisoners as well as the sheriff and his family. The men didn't necessarily have it much better. Their cells had 4 beds, which in theory was ideal if you had 4 men to each cell. However, the jail was often overcrowded and oftentimes had 6 or 7 in a cell, depending on what was going on in the St. Johns County. Due to overcrowding, fights were common between inmates. Sometimes things spilled over, and guards and deputies also got into it with prisoners. Typically, in those situations, the prisoners always came out with bruises, broken bones, or worse.
If the sleeping arrangements were less than ideal, you can only imagine the working conditions. Prisoners were sent to work on local farms on a literal chain gang. The men were chained together by their ankles and had to work 8 to 10 hours outside in the brutal St. Augustine summers. But not everyone in the old jail served hard time. Some had it a little bit easier. Those convicted of misdemeanor crimes were locked in a stockade for several hours. People would come by and mock them until the time was up and they were released. Other prisoners convicted of lesser crimes were put in a large bird cage that was hung by a tree about 15 feet off the ground. That's where the term jailbird comes from. Men serving time in the old jail often died from disease, dehydration, malnutrition, in addition to those who were sentenced to be hanged. One of the most notorious people sentenced to hang at the old jail was Andrew Sim Jackson. After getting into an argument with his wife, Alice Jackson, Sim slashed her throat 27 times with a razor in 1908. The murder was so gruesome because Sim vowed to cut her head off and throw it into her mother's lap. She would have been decapitated except for one small ligament that remained that kept her head attached to her body. After the murder, Jackson escaped and went on the run for 5 years before being found in Tampa. Eventually, he was discovered, and Sheriff Perry brought him back to St. Augustine to stand trial. Sim confessed and was sentenced to be hanged on February 9, 1906.
Over 500 people showed up to witness his execution. Before Sim was hanged, an arrangement was made with a doctor from New York to run some tests on him after the execution to see how long a body could remain conscious after being hanged. After the signal was given and Sim broke his neck falling through the trap door, the doctor began his tests. As Sim dangled from the rope around his neck, the doctor asked Sim to close his hand if he understood him. Sim closed his hand, then reopened his palm. The doctor then said, "If you are in any pain, close your hand." Once again, Sim's hand closed. The doctor again asked him a question, but stopped getting a response, and Sim was pronounced dead. In all, it took approximately 30 minutes for Sim to die after he was hanged.
Another one of the most notorious men to meet his end at the end of a rope was Charlie Powell. Charlie Powell shot and killed John Rogers at a turpentine camp. The two men worked together, but Powell found out Rogers had been spreading rumors about his wife. Powell confronted him in a saloon with a double-barrel shotgun. Of course, Rogers denied talking about Powell's wife, but Powell was so enraged, he pulled the trigger and killed his co-worker instantly. Powell fled the scene and made his way to Georgia, where he lay low for a little while, until he was captured by Sheriff Perry. He was taken in front of a judge and given the death penalty. The morning of his execution, they found Powell unconscious lying on the floor of his cell. Yet due to Florida laws, anyone who was about to be hanged had to have the ability to stand on their own 2 feet. If for some reason the inmate couldn't stand, the hanging would be postponed to a later date. Sheriff Perry tied a large plank around Powell's back and put a rope around his neck and pulled him up on his feet. Powell was then hanged with a large plank attached to his back. However, the rope wasn't strong enough to hold Powell's weight and the plank, and it broke, sending the inmate's body out into the crowd of people who had gathered to watch him die. When the doctor inspected Powell, they found that his neck was broken, but he was still alive. Typically, anyone who was hanged and survived was allowed to go free, as it was considered to be an act of God. But Sheriff Perry sent 2 deputies to find another rope. When they went to drag Powell back out of his cell, he was found dead from the injuries he sustained in the first attempt.
In all, a total of 8 hangings took place in the old jail. However, countless lynchings also were held at the courtyard. Actually, the tree behind the jail was called the lynching tree. Undocumented hangings occurred when a prisoner got in trouble too many times or fought deputies or other prisoners. It's not known exactly how many undocumented hangings took place. Today, the jail is available for tours, and tour guides dress up as inmates and lead you around telling you the history. They even have an animatronic Sheriff Perry standing at the top of the stairs overlooking the jail. He was made in the 1970s and used to interact with the guests until lightning struck the jail one night.
The old jail is believed to be haunted by the ghost of a little boy who was brought to the jail by his parents who wanted to scare him straight after they caught him stealing. Around 1900, a 10-year-old boy was caught stealing candy at the store and his parents stuck him in jail. He had to work on the chain gang with the other prisoners. Well, something happened while he was in there and he got killed. No one said what happened because the inmates didn't tell on each other. Since then, the little boy's been seen upstairs, but he's also been seen in the bedroom window where Sheriff Perry lived. A tour guide told me he was taking tickets back in September 2019 when a man and a woman walked up and started staring at the window. The man kept looking and asked the tour guide, "Do you see that little boy up there in the window?" I talked to another tour guide and he told me about an experience he had. At night while waiting for tours to start, he would stand by the front door and began to hear heavy footsteps walking from maximum security over to the holding cells. One time he was in the employee closet that was down at the bottom of the stairs. The door was propped open about 30 minutes before the tour was about to start. All of a sudden, he heard the door open and then began to hear footsteps. It sounded like someone was walking into the jail. But when he looked out there, there was nothing and nobody was in the jail.
There are other ghosts too that can get a little more physical. There are stories of spirits pushing and shoving tour guides and visitors. Some have even come out of the jail with scratches and bruises.
I had my own strange experience when I visited the jail last year. I conducted an interview with one of the guides, and when I played it back, I heard a loud, heavy breathing when it should have been completely quiet. But that isn't the strangest thing. When I arrived at the jail, I bought a ticket for my tour. But the cashier accidentally charged me for an extra ticket. I talked to the manager on duty before my tour, and he explained that I was the last person going through the jail, and since everything was shutting down, he couldn't give me a refund. He gave me a name and phone number to call the next day. I pulled out my phone and opened the Notepad app in my iPhone, and I typed the information in and hurried into the jail so I wouldn't be late for the tour. When the tour was over and I got back to my car, I pulled out my phone to look at the information I was given, but what I saw was totally different than what I had typed in before the tour. To my astonishment, the name and phone number I was given was gone. Instead, in my Notepad, I found some gibberish and at least half a dozen badly misspelled curse words. I must have stared at my phone for 2 or 3 minutes before I deleted it. I figured when I started the car, I must have hit the microphone button and it picked up what was on the radio. But the more I thought about it, I was listening to a podcast that doesn't have any profanity. I started to think that something inside the jail was trying to communicate with me. When I got home, I talked to a friend of mine who is a reputable ghost hunter and has appeared on numerous TV shows. He told me that it was very likely something or someone who was in the jail wrote the cuss words. He told me that oftentimes in the early 20th century, people who weren't educated wrote things out how they sounded, even though they weren't grammatically correct. Maybe he's right. I don't know. I still wasn't convinced, so I sent an email to someone I met who worked at the jail. He told me that while he has had a lot of weird things happen to him, he hasn't heard of anything like that before.
We hope you enjoyed our episode on the old jail in St. Augustine, Florida. If you are interested in hearing about more haunted locations in the area, download the St. Augustine Ghost Map app in iTunes and Google Play. And be sure to check out our website, southernghoststories.com. Feel free to leave a comment or send us a message on our Facebook or Instagram accounts and let us know about any creepy experiences you may have had. And feel free to give us some ideas on new locations you'd like to hear about on future shows.
Be sure to subscribe and leave a 5-star review. Those reviews are very helpful. We appreciate everyone who's taking a few minutes to do it for us. Please check back with us next time as we head up north to Red Bull and Springs, Tennessee to talk about the Thomas House.
Sometimes things spilled over and guards and deputies... Have I said this okay so far?
Yeah.
Or have I... I feel like I've flubbed already. Okay.
Other prisoners convicted of lesser crimes were put in a large... My mouth doesn't work today. You did pretty good on that one. I'm the one who kept screwing up.